for them, it was time to seize the God-given opportunity. It was a time to prepare and to seize that opportunity that God was laying before them. And we notice that the God that we serve can move the hearts of kings, like he does here, of Cyrus, and in their case, prime ministers. All right, they may not be believers at all, but you can tell from the language that Cyrus uses. He hasn't quite got the God's living in Jerusalem. Well, I think the God of the universe, God of heaven, is a bit bigger than that. But anyway, that's as it is. And so God's able to move the hearts and the minds of unbelievers. Sometimes it's a bit harder to move the hearts and the minds of believers. Sometimes we're a bit more hesitant than that. But I want to say quite clearly, it's obvious in the nation, it's time to move forward. It's time for us also to move forward. It's time to go home. And for the Jews, it was through prayer, for God's favour, which you see very much in Ezra and in particularly in Nehemiah as well, if you read those first couple of chapters. Prayer has caused this to happen as well, through to praying for God's favour to move these people. But the interesting thing is, for the Jews, actually, it might be time to go home, but all has changed. Things will be different in Jerusalem. No longer a bustling city, it's a ruin. It's no longer thriving. It's going to be a place of difficulty. There's no temple. There's no commerce. There's no crops in the ground. It all needs to start again. Things will be different in Jerusalem. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, as I speak to you prophetically, things will be different in there as we meet physically, the Burston Baptist Church. They will be. This is not a time for the Jews or for us then to maintain the status quo. Well, we always do it like this. We've always done this. This person does that, somebody else does something else. We do it like this. It's not time for that. It's a time to be flexible, to change. And it's a time to rebuild. Time to go home and to wave goodbye to the old and to rebuild. For the Jews, it was to rebuild the temple, which is what Ezra focuses on, and the walls around the outside for Nehemiah. But it's a time to build, to rebuild. And Ezra 1:5, which I think is a lovely verse for us, Ezra 1:5, everyone whose heart God gospel, to be church in Merston. Amen? Are you with me? Good. It's time that we actually get to grips with this. So I'm not being asked. It's Sunday resort. It's quite comfortable. I have to get up an hour earlier if I've got to come up to Merston as well. It's nice and easy in your home, and tell what, all sorts of things. But no, we're going to have to commit to come. You know, if we can. That's not, if you're on Zoom, by the way, don't be put off by any of this, because we're not closing the door on that, but I'll talk about that in a minute. For the Jews, that journey and that preparation, even to get to Jerusalem, would take 4 months, 800 plus miles to get before they even started the work. But this is a time for us all. Listen to me ever so carefully this morning. This is a time for us to recommit ourselves, to rededicate ourselves to the work that God's called us to in the new shape that it might take. Now, their rededication is really practical for them. Their rededication, they're having to rededicate their time. their resources. In fact, for those that are trailblazing, it's a total giving of themselves. They're going to have to set out on this journey. So there is for us, again, a refocusing, and for them, a refocusing away from where we are to actually, God's called us to do this. And what I want you to know from that verse that I've just quoted to you is the verse that follows, as they prepare to go up to build the house of the Lord. And then verse 6 says, all their neighbours assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock and valuable gifts, in addition to all free will offering. And then you read on that the King Cyrus also gave lots of stuff. But it starts, if we want the favour of God and we want to receive, which we're going to need to receive some extra gifts for a new building as well, and if we're going to move to full-time ministry and ministries coming out from our church, it requires us to give birth before others release. That's how it's always put, that we give ourselves to God, and then we give ourselves to what he's called us to there and then. And then it draws other people in. That, you see, let's note then that it was the Jews giving, those people, those pioneers, their giving of their time and their resources of themselves first, that released the giving of others that are not directly involved. So for some, we will be returning, hopefully, to our site and to our building. And for others that have joined us, you're still going to be involved, I'm sure. Those that have joined us from all over the place, online as well, will be involved from a distance. But actually, we're not all called to be pioneers. But I want to tell you, all of you that were with me at Merston Baptist Church are called to be pioneers. We're called to be pioneers. So the first thing I want us to make quite clear, I think, this morning, and do really open your heart to this, for us regular worshippers at Merston Baptist Church, as we return, let's rededicate ourselves to God's will. We make that choice. It's a choice. God won't thrust it upon you. It says in one place in the scripture that God, those that God called, those that God prodded, it says in the message. If God's prodded you to be there, let's recommit ourselves now by committing to give time to this. Let's recommit ourselves to meeting in person, giving the extra time, rearranging our schedules a bit, so that actually meeting in physical time is a priority. You see, the temple would never have got built ethereally. It took people's time and their effort working together. Let's commit ourselves, yes, to praying together. And let's commit ourselves and be willing to be witnesses in that place, and willing to serve in the church's activities. Not just leaving it to others. It's so easy just to say, oh, they will. I'll just turn up. Should we move away now? Should we move back away from just letting others do it, to actually almost fight each other off for the privilege of serving? You know, we've had a wonderful example of service from our brother Phil, who God called to his side just recently, as we know, who faithfully committed himself to the work. And what we want to learn from his pioneering, his trailblazing, then, is that so can I, as that song, so can I commit myself and not just leave it to others. You know, this is a new start for us, isn't it? But we also need to choose not just that, but we need to choose that our lifestyles, our choices, and our words are also witnesses for Jesus. Now, let me tell you that it won't be easy, because we got quite settled in a strange way. I know for myself, I if I'm really honest, I'm not sure how keen I am to have to drive 2 hours every Sunday, you know, particularly if only half a dozen of you have turned up. So just for my sake alone, you know, if I've got to make the effort, perhaps you will as well. I'm sure we will. It's up here, isn't it? Let's get a real. I have to go to Prodis, if you like, be ready to go up, to get ourselves everything in order, so that we haven't got the excuses, oh, well, we had to do this, you know, we're ready to go. Seeing how hard it was for those trailblazers that left Babylon to walk 800 miles back to Jerusalem and then start work. We thought there were a few shortages in the lockdown here. There was a shortage of everything there. There wasn't anything. They were literally starting from scratch. It was hard for Ezra. It was hard for Nehemiah. It was hard for those who returned. And they all got their names in the scriptures here. It was hard. There were hardships. There were dangers. There were opposition. Well, we haven't got that to return home, but they have. But can you imagine, if you read on to Ezra chapter 6, it says, and the temple was finished. It's easy to read that, but you imagine the sweat and toil and all that went into it, and the prodding that had to go on by Haggai and others to get people to finish the thing off as well. But can you imagine, just think about it, what it must have been like to have stood there in that rebuilt temple on Mount Zion. Can you imagine what it was like being at the completion of it? What a thought that is. And they got there through prayer, through orderly discipline, through working together in mutual support and in loyalty, and from the support of others who didn't go with them, those that still stayed in Babylon. But they get there and it's finished. This bit's done. If they hadn't, listen, the whole of history would not look the same. It's finished. I wonder, brothers and sisters, what it would be like for you and I, for many of you that waited such a long time, to sing the praises of God with other people in a brand new building set in our community. Not with a bit of plastic sheet on the roof. Not with it, everything brand new, with new songs. People. I wonder what that would be like. And by God's grace and by our commitment for his purposes and will, we will arrive. We will arrive. We will get there. Do you believe that? See, when I look across here, the only thing that concerns me with this is I'm not sure I'm the only one who's excited by this. As I have a little look, I'm not persuaded, you know. But time and time again, I think we talk about it. Actually, this is God's time. This is a time, for such a time as this, Esther says, I've been called to the kingdom, you know, for such a purpose. You've been chosen by God and anointed by God to do something great for God. So it's about time, actually, we recognize that and get excited by it. I can't drive you to it. We need to joyfully go together. And yes, together we will see this thing happen. And then we stand together and say, what a great time this is. We're in this place with God. And people will be starting to respond all around. I tell you what, well, I'll come on to that in a moment. But by God's grace, it will happen. Let's take a moment to stop. Vida, even if you want to pray, feel free to unmute for a minute. And say, Lord, I want to be one of those that says, so can you. We believe that you are on the move and you've got new things for us. Let's take a moment to pray. I'm quite finished what I want to say, but nearly. There's technology that you can put a headset on and you can look around the house that you live in. See it laid out differently. It's a television program like that. And you can actually see for what it will be rather than what it is now. Just ask the Lord to open your heart and that he can, I know because he's done it for me. see in your heart, to see in your mind, in your inner man, inner woman, that what God's plans and purposes are. And it isn't just a building, but the building is part of it. The building is a facility to help us expand the kingdom of God. Open our hearts, Lord, and we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to carry on with you a little bit now. You see, because the returning of the Jews to Jerusalem was a very practical thing. It was spiritual, but you see, sometimes you think, "Well, that's practical," and this is spiritual. No, it was spiritually practical. They're having to serve, they're having to give, they're having to encourage, and they're having to put their hands and dig and put away all the rubble and the muck and all the rest of it to get this thing done. There was no room in that party for people whose heads were just in the clouds. It was a time to roll up your sleeves as well. So it was spiritually practical. But make no mistake, though, that I'm not saying that actually that's all there is, because actually when you read the beginning of Ezra, how he prayed, and you read Nehemiah particularly, how he takes a whole chapter to pray, to seek God, to declare the goodness of God, what he wants God to do. He prays elegantly, long prayer, a prayer of faith, a prayer, but also when, if you do read Nehemiah, it's great for you to do. I might pick that up another time. But he also prays long prayers, but he prays a short prayer. In between, the king says, "What's the matter with you? You look very miserable today." And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm a," he said, "so would you be, king." Well, he doesn't quite say that, does he? But he says, "So would you be if, you know, my city's in ruin and all the rest of it." And then the king asks him something, and he says, "And I pray to God." Well, he didn't take a long prayer like that while he's talking to the king. So he sent a quick arrow prayer. He said, "Oh God, help. Quick God, give me the answer to this," which is what he did. So we need to make no mistake that the foundation of what we are called to do as a foundation of prayer, for those that have been praying and for those that will continue to pray, long and short prayers, that prayer is needed. Because you see, a building and a moving forward as we are, moving into the unknown as we are, is a challenge in effort, because we won't know, but we haven't been this way before. Because what I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, Merston Baptist Church is starting all over again. I've been talking with my son about his barbers, and he's described these lockdowns that we've had and lockouts that he's had and all the rest of it. But every time we're allowed to reopen, it's like a brand new start, a brand new beginning. And for us, I think what we need to recognise, it isn't business as usual. This is a brand new start that some of you have dreamt of. Some of you have dreamt of over the years. This is a new start. We're starting all over again. It's a new start. It's a new beginning. It's a new Merston Baptist Church. We might not even call ourselves that. Might call ourselves something else. Might be the Hope Centre. I don't know what we're going to call it. That's God will make that clear. A new beginning. A little way further along the road, there will be a new building with new ministries. And a little bit further along, there will be a we'll have a new minister or two, and new members, and new opportunities. They all await us. A new time, a new way of doing and being church. It brings its challenges and its opposition, but it brings its opportunities as well. We've not been this way before. you're probably aware that I've been involved with two of these things, but never quite like this. I've been involved with two church rebuilds. What I need to tell you from experience over now and a lot of years is that when we commit ourselves to this, people sit by the edge and other people grab hold of it immediately, but it will produce faith. It already has done. We had a huge gift up 2 or 3 years back when we raised £32,000. That for a church of our size is phenomenal for this. It will produce growth in our faith. It will produce a new presence for the church in the community. Already we discovered as we talked to people, they had no idea as we got the stuff for these families that we were a church. What is that strange group now? What does it do? Who are these Baptists? People will note that this is happening. We have a story to tell. It will see an increase in numbers. We're not building it just for us. We're building it for people that we can't see on those empty seats. So we need to be praying for each empty seat. God knows who they are. We will attract new believers and new non-believers, because this is what always happens. How can I say it? Because I've seen it, and I've shared with other ministers that have seen it. Reigate Baptist Church wasn't always that big. It wasn't that big when they started building their building. So I was involved with Brother John Bridgman. Jesus said, I will build my church. Church is not a building, it's people. I know that. But he's using you and I as living stones, living parts of that, to build this church. He requires you and I to be committed to his cause. So as Ezra says in verse 1:6, which if you want to put it up somewhere on the bridge or pin it to the back door of the toilet or something, you know, or wherever you want to, everyone, in fact, God chose and anointed, set out to build, to go up to Jerusalem. Everyone, God prodded, it says in the message, and chose and anointed, and that's you and I, brothers and sisters. He's chosen us for such a time as this. And for you Zoomers, and everyone Zooming we're on today, or perhaps two or three, I'm not sure, that have joined us from other places, you are our partners too. You may not be with us there, going up to Jerusalem, but you still partner with us. You're still praying with us. You can still meet with us on Zoom. You can still be part of what God's doing, even if you live somewhere else. I think that's we could have people joining us from all around the world. Little Merston Baptist Church, we will have people joining us from all around the world, physically as well, as time goes on. More people. Got lots of people from around the world now as I look around. I've got Tracy on my screen, she's from South Africa, and I've got Gabby, you're on my screen, and you know, you're from Iraq. So I mean, we cover quite a spectrum of the world, actually, don't we, church? But expect more than that. But for you Zoomers, not baby boomers, but Zoomers, that's a new name, isn't it? You were still partner. We know that you'll be with us on Zoom quite often with prayer and real support and with your giving. So together, we're going to go back home. In fact, whatever Boris decides, we will go home. On the last Sunday of this week, we will be in our building. Whatever Uncle Boris says, we will meet. With them, without masks, whatever you wish, whatever's right. But we're going to meet there, and we're going to have a cup of coffee together, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to ask God to fill our hearts with faith and expectation that God is doing a new thing. Bring it on, Lord. All he wants for you and me is the same issue. I'm running. So will I. So will I. Let's just stop and pray for me. Lord, you've done some great things in history, great things in the past. But Lord, I've read so many people's books of faith, but you are calling us to write a book of faith. A book of faith in a little place called Merced. You've chosen us and anointed us. Lord, we don't feel worthy of any such thing. And we feel totally inadequate, but we acknowledge that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives us strength. So we say, Lord, I want to be help me to arrange my life and my whole being to be able to give my time, my effort, my resources to you and your kingdom in these days, in this place. Amen. And we've got a lovely song that's been chosen for us, and we're going to share bread and wine in a moment. We do that, and the next time we do it will be on that first Sunday we meet together in the building. But we're going to a lovely song chosen by Teresa called King of Kings, another Hillsong song, lovely, which as it moves us then as we prepare to share the bread and wine together. Thank you.
Without hope, without light.